your presence. And now, Lord, as we turn to the word, I just ask that you would come and make it real, make it alive, and let each person here be ministered to, Father. Meet the needs of each one as you promised to do, Father, and let each heart be receptive for what you have to say. We ask this in your name. Amen. If you want to turn to John, the 15th chapter, we're going to start there. Come on in, sister. We welcome everybody later in the night. St. John 15, we're going to read verse 12 and 13. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you.
Amen.
You don't love each other like man loves, you love as God loves. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. You may be seated. I've been thinking on the thought of friends lately, and I already apologized to some of them, but I said last Sunday that I'm going to come Thursday night and I'm going to preach about how to quit worrying, how not to worry. And I was planning on doing that, and God changed my mind. He said, no, you're going to preach that on Sunday. I got something else for you to preach tonight. So Sunday, if you want to hear how not to worry, come to church. And I say, come to church, and here they come. All right. All right. Sunday, Lord willing, we're going to preach on how not to worry. Tonight, we're going to preach on friendship. And I thought about friendship. It's been on my mind a lot lately about friends and what really good friends are and how to define friendship. And there are so many things to speak on friendship. I want to try and do this in 30 minutes or maybe 40 or something. We'll try and get you out of here, so get you home to bed so you can sleep a little bit. But, and you could preach on friends forever, right? But just to hit a few things that God put on my heart. Lay down your life for your friend. And most of us would say, well, I've never been in a situation where I had to die for someone else. And I beg to differ. I'm telling you, you've been in that situation today numerous times. You're in that situation every day. It just depends what you're dying to. You might not ever come to a point where you have to lay down your natural life as far as this life and lay down and die like a soldier. He dies for his friends. He dies on a hand grenade so his friends don't die, something like that. Great love. It's wonderful. But yet, every time, every day, we are coming to situations where we can express love by dying to ourselves. You know what happens? When someone sasses you at work and you die to yourself and say, let it go. When your wife chews you out, and you being the brother, and the Bible says, lay down your life, lay down yourself for your wife is what you're supposed to do. And you say, hang on a second, this is me. And you be the bigger person, so to speak, and you say, okay, honey, yes, that's fine. Instead of railing back at her. Someone hurts your feelings, instead of you protecting yourself by hurting their feelings, you die to yourself. You lay down your life and say, it's all right. I forgive him. I forgive you. See, there's a lot of ways to express love. He said, love as I have loved you. That's the love of Jesus Christ. All right? When you take this old nasty nature, which you know how nasty it is, tell me someone stand up and say, well, my nature ain't that bad. I dare you. We will laugh you out of church. Our natures are nasty. Our old nature is capable of doing every vile thing there is because it's a sin. It's nasty. It is. So that's what we want to die to. We want to be friends, right? You want to be friends? You want to have friends? This is what we're talking about tonight. This is how you be friendly, folks. Now, what we're going to find out tonight, hopefully, friendship is not an emotion. It produces emotion, but if you base your friendships on how you feel about a person, you're a lousy friend. Well, I don't like that person very well. They made me mad. That doesn't mean you're not going to be a friend to them. Can I read you something? Forthwith he came to Jesus and said, Hail, Master, and kissed him. Who are we talking about?
Judas. And Jesus said unto him,
how dare you do that to me? Don't you know who I am? I've been a message believer for 20 years.
No, Jesus said unto him, friend?
You think Jesus didn't know what was coming in the next few hours? He knew exactly what Judas was doing. He knew exactly who he was. He knew he was a son of perdition. He called him friend. That's the love of God. Do you have any enemies? Do you have any enemies? How dare you have an enemy? How dare you hold that thing against that person and make them your enemy? Now, they might not like you and they might consider you their enemy, but how dare you consider them your enemy? He said, well, they treat me terrible. Judas, Jesus, friend. Folks, you want to go on the rapture, there's a high standard here, okay? You want to go on the rapture, you better get your head on straight, because there's a high standard to get to, and brother and sister, we're not going to get that without the perfect love. Right. Only perfect love. This is what we're talking about. This is perfect love. Someone treats you like a devil, and you treat them like an angel. Lay down your life for your friend. Well, who is my friend? Didn't they ask Jesus that? Who is my neighbor? He said that person, that other race that you don't like. You racist bunch of people. That's your neighbor. They're a different religion. They don't even believe the way we do. That's your neighbor.
It's not about relation. It's not about if they've been nice to me. If they're good to me, I'll be good to them. We're going to be good friends. And as soon as they're bad to you, then you quit being friends, right? Now, there are a whole lot of levels of friendship. Because Jesus called Judas friend was not the same way he called John friend. All right? There's lots of levels. And you hear people say, if you have two or three good friends in your life, you're a rich man. And you are, because if you have two or three people that at the very highest level of friendship, you're doing really well. There are people in this world who don't have any friends. They have people they hang out with, they don't even like them. They hang out with their family, they don't even like their family, but they hang out with them because they're the family. They're not friends. Just because they're in your family don't make them your friend. That make sense? Proverbs 17. A friend loveth at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. So friendship doesn't disappear because I'm having a bad day. I have a bad day, so I'm going to take it off on my wife, I'm going to take it out on my kids, I'm going to take it out on my husband, I'm going to take it out on my coworkers, I'm going to take it out on the people driving down the road. I'm having a bad day, I want you to have a bad day, because I'm miserable, I want you to be miserable. That is not friendship. It ain't. That is selfishness.
That's
all it is. I am about me, this is all about me, and if I'm having a bad day, how dare you tell me to have a good day? Some people don't do mornings. I do mornings. I go to work, I'm in a good mood. People in the work are like, they're still in that, I just got off the don't talk to me kind of mood, you know? And I'll crack a joke or something that's like, it's too early. Understand that. I understand it, right? But don't go past 9 o'clock with that, okay? I want to put a time limit on that. Once it's 9 o'clock, get over it. Just playing. All right? But some people, they're grumpy all day. Well, it's just one of those days. Oh, I'm sick of hearing that. You can have a bad day and still have a good attitude. You know that? A friend loveth at all times. So it's not something that, you know, it's just up and down and up and down. It's someone that you can count on. And it says this, a brother is born for adversity. What's adversity? When you're going through a hard time. And you can call someone and say, hey, buddy, I'm having a hard time. He said, tell me about it. What's going on, man? You get off the phone and you're doing better. You know what? Brother is not poor. I'm having a bad time.
Well, I am too, man.
Why don't we sit down and feel sorry for you? When you're down already, don't call someone who's going to just sit there and commiserate with your misery. Now, if you're having a tragedy or something, you know, a death in the family, I'm not saying, get over it, buddy. People die all the time. That ain't what I'm talking about. I'm talking about entering into your suffering in the right way. Not just to feel bad, but take with faith. Man, I'm so sorry for what you're doing. And sometimes you don't know what to say. You ever been in that situation? You just don't know what to say. And sometimes you just sit there. That's what a brother will do. He'll support you. He'll do what's good for you. And you know what he won't do? He won't tell you something that's just... What's the word I'm looking for? He won't give you bad advice. He won't get there and let you talk unbelief. He'll talk faith to you. Man, I'm so tore up, I think I should just quit church. You know what? I think you should. That's not a brother. Now, if it's the pastor saying that, you need to have a talk with the pastor. A brother will stick with you through adversity. They'll stay with you. There's someone you can count on. And you know what? Something else, brother and sister? You know what makes a good friend? Someone who is not like this. They're not up here one day and down here and you don't know what they're going to be like. You can't trust them. They're not inconsistent. You want someone who you know that when you call them on the phone, they're going to be that same steady person. And some of us are very emotional. I'm a very emotional person. That's not an excuse, folks. Just because you're emotional doesn't mean you can't have a good attitude. But I am really tore up right now. You can be totally tore up and have a good attitude. And be a brother to your whoever needs it to be. Sister, you know, you understand brother is generic. It's sister, brother, both of you. Sister. You don't have to be ruled by your emotions. You don't have to be. And a brother who's come to maturity isn't. Because I can't count on you. I remember having teachers in school, and one day you're laughing and joking and everything's fine and you're just having a good time. You come back the next day, man, I love this class. And you go in there and you're ready to laugh and joke and she's in a bad mood today. You know what I'm talking about, don't you, Will? And all of a sudden it's like, yesterday I could tell a joke, it was fun. Now you're chopping me off. What's wrong with you? That's a horrible people person is what it is. They should be changing tires instead of working with people. I'm serious. There are some people that are just not good at this kind of stuff, and that's no excuse not to be a good person and all that, but they just don't do some of that because when they're feeling bad, they just can't probably get out of that feeling bad thing. The Holy Spirit will cure you of that. Don't get me wrong. You are going to have ups and downs. We all have ups and downs. And the more emotional you are as a person in your spirit realm, the more ups and downs you're going to be. You're going to have a brother and sister. You do not have to react to the in a negative way. And if you're just having a bad day and someone goes, hey, listen, I'm really sorry. I just don't have any strength in myself. I really can't talk to you right now. Maybe tomorrow I can help you. Just be honest. Be honest. Be respectful. We're just talking, just think about this. We have lost our respect as a nation, as a world. We have lost our respect. You know, we're talking about, you know, back there, founding fathers. Some of them were not Christians, but you know what they had? They had respect towards people who were. Now, if you're not a Christian, you totally just denigrate and belittle and hate people who are Christians. And that's what's expected. If someone disagrees with you, you have the right to treat them like crap. Pardon my bad language. But it's true. That's the way our culture has got. Our values have switched so much that if I don't feel like I want to like you, I don't have to treat you good. If I feel like you've done something wrong, or if I just feel like I can go by my feelings, my world is ruled by my feelings. It's not a brother born for adversity. People with friends who can control their emotions. I want to be able to sit down and talk to Brother Todd without him getting in a bad mood and stop being mean towards me. If I say something that hurts his feelings, he's not going to sass off and hurt my back. Because maybe I didn't even mean it. And the reality is, a good friend, a real true friend, is going to tell you the truth whether it hurts your feelings or not.
You're right, David.
I've had many talks with David. I know I was hurting his feelings. I knew it. And I knew God had told me to say that. You know what David said sometimes? He said, I like the way you talk to me because I know you're being honest. So you can have confidence in someone like that. You know that they're not going to just say something just to kind of smooth it over. I had to call one of my good friends on the phone yesterday. Had to deal with the situation. And when it was done, she said, you know, I appreciate knowing I have at least one friend who tell me the truth. I hated making that phone call. I hated having that conversation because it was uncomfortable because I had to say some things that I wish she didn't want to hear. That's what friends do. But you do it in a way that's respectful. You do it in a way that puts yourself in their shoes. How would I like if someone had to talk to me that way? Because see what we tend to do as human beings is we wait until we get so, we're so boiling, we're so over this, and then we storm up to and say, Brother Gene!
I need to get out of something. Never mind.
Brother Chris! I'm sick and tired of the way you're doing this. I'm sick and tired of the way you're treating me. See, that's what human nature does. We put up with it until we can't deal with it anymore. And when I'm training people at work, I tell them this, the new hire, I said, don't do this with so many people. You put up with all this junk until you can't deal with it anymore. You go to your supervisor's office and say, I'm sick of the way you're doing this. I'm sick of this. I'm sick of that. And you just go off. And you leave without your self-respect, your integrity, and your job. I say, don't go in there when you're tore up, when you're on the boiling point, when your emotions are here. Calm down. And then go in and say, hey, listen, I need to talk to you. It's going to be able to talk. Well, we need to have a conversation, Brother Chris. The way you're going to treat me, I don't like this. I want to know what to do with this. You walk out with your integrity, with your supervisor's respect, and you keep your job. And then that's just being a decent human being. You only have to be a Christian to do this. This is just like decent human beings do. They treat each other with respect. Whether you like them or not.
And as a Christian, it's 100 times more important because why would they want what you have if all they see is your bad attitude? Say, Brother Phil, it's hard for me to control my temper. Join the human race. Who can say I never had a problem controlling my temper? Now let me tell you, over the years, the way I've matured in this, is when I get mad about something, I just keep it inside. Other people spew it out. Yeah. They're both wrong.
Yeah.
All right? If, as long as you hold that, if I hold that grudge, hold that anger in there, if you spew it out and get rid of it, and I hold it in there, it's going to affect me worse in the long run. I need to get rid of it. You need to get rid of it. We just need to do it in the proper way. And the proper way to get rid of it is not protecting myself. It's lay down my life for my friends. Well, Brother Phil, that's hard to do. Come on Sunday, we're going to find out how to do it. I'm serious. It is the simplest concept there is. The most simple thing there is. One of the hardest things to do, but the whole idea of how you go about this is very simple. If it wasn't simple, it wouldn't be of God. If I have a whole list of things you have to do, just tune me out. In a relationship between a husband and wife especially, and you can't get along with this, and you use your take your temper out on each other, you take your frustration out on each other, you're talking about living in misery. You say, you don't know that, Brother Phil, you've never been married, you think I don't have eyes and ears? People get married to people they don't even like. They're not even friends. They really would not even spend time with them, except that they love them. It's true. And you know, should I tell you what typically this is? A lot of times, I mean, there's real love, and I'm not talking about that. But so many times, especially what you see in today, the way what the values are, if you find someone that you find very physically attractive, or they're funny, or they have money, or you find these other things, and you get attracted to them, and a lot of times it's just a physical attraction, or you think, oh my goodness, I can have sex all the time I want if I marry this person. And all these other reasons that people have, and they get together, and they're spiritually, they connect. There's a connection in the spirit realm. And usually it's one person is dominant, the other person is submissive. Now, that's okay if the brother is dominant and he's a Christian and he has the right attitude, and the girl, the woman you're supposed to be submissive to is dominant. Masculine, feminine is supposed to be that way. Now, when you get warped and the woman is dominant and the guy is submissive, then you got a warped situation. You just might as well just, I don't know how you deal with that. But it's misery. It's not supposed to be that way, but you see it a lot. But here's what happens. So these two people, they start dating each other. And through this interaction, and the girl wants to like him, the guy wants to like her, whatever, and they start connecting, and she becomes submissive to that spirit. And they think it's love. And it might not be love at all. But see, once she has become submissive to that spirit, then she feels she needs that to have a sense of being. That is why women will continually go back to abusive men. Because there's been something in her spirit realm that she has accepted that dominant, and she needs that to feel real. She thinks it's love. I love him. He needs me. It's nothing to do with love. It's a submissive to that abusive spirit. And if you are dating somebody and they have that dominant, strong spirit, you make sure you protect your spirit until you know for sure this is the right one for you. And you cannot become subject to that thing. Because you can get yourself in a mess. And that thing will get you, and it will scar you for the rest of your life in your spirit realm. And you'll always think you have these feelings for that guy, especially if it leads to sex. Yes, it will. And the rest of that girl's life, she'll have a weakness to that kind of dominant, abusive spirit. It's true. You better be sure you pray about who you're subject to.
Save yourself a lot of heartache. It's a good idea. Make sure you're both born again. It's true. Save yourself some heartache. Proverbs 18. A man that hath friends must show himself friendly. You want to have friends? You got to be a friend. And there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. A friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Which goes to show you this has nothing to do with bloodlines, natural bloodlines. It has nothing to do with family. Has nothing to do with anything like that. It's about who is going to be a real friend to you. Jonathan and David, closest friends there ever were. Why? They trusted each other. They would lay down their life. They understood each other. They were right there for each other. They did not let anything separate their friendship. They recognized the value of friendship. Do you have someone right now that you look at and say, that's my best friend. I can say anything I want to that person, even if it hurts their feelings. And they can say anything to me, and I'm not going to get all sold up about it. Well, fine. You have anyone like that? If you have one or two people like that, you're a rich person. Because most people don't. And they go through life incredibly lonely, not even realizing it. But you want friends, you got to be friendly. You know what friendly means? Trustworthy. I can trust you. You're not going to just betray me, deceive me. You know, you're going to be consistent. If you say, hey, let's go do this, you're going to be there instead of like calling up 9, you're going to be there anymore. Or don't even bother to tell me anything. True friendship. There's this connection. Spiritual connection. And you know you have things in common. You have respect. You have a common respect. You have whatever it is that friendship is built on. And it's going to last. And through adversity, it's going to last. And through hardships, it's going to last. I can't imagine, and of course, I never met. I cannot imagine being married to someone who wasn't my best friend. Why would you want to spend your time, the rest of your life, with someone who was not your best friend? I can't. can't imagine. I can't imagine being married, period. But to do that, that would just, it would be such something missing, in my opinion. And if you were married to someone named your best friend, hey, God bless you. You know, make the best of it. Have a wonderful marriage. I'm not saying you can't, but I'm finding myself in hot water right now. You got to spend your life with that person. Let me give you an example. Here a while back, a long time ago, I was dating a girl. Yeah, I really did. I know people are. You were? Yeah, I was dating a girl. And I realized after a while that I would see her this day, I'd see her that day, and the rest of the time I never even thought about her. I didn't come home from work and say, hey, I'd like to call her up and talk to her. It became, okay, I'm going to see her this day, we're going to go out, I'm going to see her here, and it was just kind of a scheduled thing like that. I didn't want to call her and tell her about my day. I didn't care about her day. I didn't. And after several months of this, I was really like, this ain't working. We're not becoming friends. And how many people in that situation say, well, she's a good girl, so I should go ahead and marry her? God, I'm so thankful he didn't allow that to happen. Yeah. Well, she's pretty enough, so I'll go ahead and marry her anyway. Well, she got the money or whatever. She got a little prestige. She's really cool. I had one guy tell me he married his wife because she started seeing someone else and made him so jealous he couldn't stand it. So he married her. You know how much they get along? Ask her today. She'll tell you, I hate him. Well, they're still married. She'll tell you, I hate him. Message believers. So-called. See, when we depend just on family, well, my family is going to be my friends. And then it doesn't work out. That hurts deep. That's where feuds come from, family feuds. You know what? You want to get someone really, real some hatred, just get family bumping heads, and you will see that love turn into hate just as quick as anything. And there's some things that will never forgive. They will never get over. They'll never get over. Because that family, because that was where I was supposed to get my friendship, my identity, the people I could count on, they turned on me. Don't be looking for your family to be your friends. Look for your real family. That's the born-again brothers and sisters. That's your real family. Once you have that body change, if you're here alive and remain in your body change, or if you go by the way of the grave, when you get that new body and you get on that other side, you're not going to say, okay, all the vine triggers over here. I hope we don't even have last names. I don't believe that's going to be a thing to do with it. They're going to be your brothers and sisters, just like everybody. There's not going to be, well, there am I. I believe we're going to have an affinity to the people we went to church with. Wouldn't that be horrible if you went over there and didn't even like each other, the people you went to church with? What a horrible thing. Your pastor and you are going to be getting along great, whether you do here or not. You wouldn't have to like me. Love just don't fit the human model for it. God's love doesn't. And if we are trying to get by in this life just on human love and love for family and because I like you, we're going to get along kind of stuff, brother, sister, you're coming up short. Here's perfect love and you're still trying to make it right back here. It ain't going to work. You have to let love, the love of God, flow through you. You say, well, I can't love like that. Of course not. You're a human being. But God can. And so what you do is you lay down your own thoughts, your own feelings, your own ideas, your own ambition, your own hurt feelings, your own hurt feelings, your own hurt feelings. And you let God manifest through you. And you know what happens? You look at yourself and you say, how did that happen? And other people look at you and say, that wonderful IRS lady who's been hounding Dave. Is she your friend? If Jesus could call Judas friend, can we do less? Oh, we do less, but are we justified in doing less? That situation would tear any of us up. Why does it keep going on? You think it's about IRS? You think it's about David paying taxes? Come on, man. Nothing to do with that. That's just the instrument that's being used. This is for David's benefit. And I don't know everything that God's teaching David in this situation, but I know some of the things he's teaching him. Put in my hands, have patience, put your word in, and treat her with respect. See, this friendship is not about let's all just be one big happy family here and go to church. That's not what this is about at all. That's not real friendship at all. Let's just be having a happy church. Brothers and sisters, this is about getting ready to go into rapture. This is about letting perfect love flow through us. This is about going through the trials that we learn to die to ourselves. This is about me projecting love. This is about me looking at you and saying, what do you need right now? And if it means that I need to say something that hurts your feelings, I'm going to say it with respect. If it means I need to shut my mouth, I'm going to shut my mouth. If it means that I got to get my feelings hurt and get trampled on and get used and abused, and I'm going to get used and abused and trampled on, then I'm going to do it with the Spirit of Christ. She will have that, or she will not be without spot or wrinkle. She's not going. You must have that character, that love, that perfect love, which brings perfect faith. You have to have that, brother, sister, for our day. Now, if it was 30 years ago or 60 years ago, you might get by with a little less than that. But we have the perfect rep, the perfect message, and it's coming to maturity. That very word is coming to maturity in a bride, and that's producing the very character of Christ.
That's right.
Amen. That standard. No way you and I can reach that. It's impossible. So quit trying.
Amen.
You didn't put it up there and say, jump hard, jump higher, jump higher. You can try again. He said, you see that? You can't get there. Let me take your hand. I'll take you there. That's what it's about. What a friend we have in Jesus. Beautiful song. All our griefs, and what's the next word?
Sorrows.
You know how he does this? You know how God wants to do this? Brother Chris?
Well, make me leave your keys in the car. Make me leave your keys locked in the ground, man.
That's not what I expected. Strengthens itself. The body builds itself up. The body is here for your support. The body is here to be your friend that stays closer than a brother. The body is here for the adversity. This is what the body is here for. And we got, what, 10 people here tonight or something? Come on. You think we can have division into a group this small?
Well,
That's his job. And God's asking you now, will you be a brother? Will you be a friend? Will you lay down your life for your friend? Will you be that person that I can call up and talk to and say, hey, listen, I really have a hard time? Will you be the one who's led by the Holy Spirit and calls them up and say, hey, listen, I noticed at church you've been kind of having a hard time. So you know I'm praying for you. Love you.
If he has me, that's being a friend. You're a friend to them no matter how they treat you.
And when you have someone who has that same character in them, how dare I give into my human nature? Can we just be friends? Hey, Brother Phil, you're asking a lot.
Yep, no, I'm not asking. Christ asking for a lot. Because he gave a lot. He said, I gave a lot. I gave my all. Why don't you give me my all? Give me your all. Why don't you give me that old nature? Why don't you give me your life? Won't you let me be your friend? Be my friend. Was it Abraham was called a friend of God? Someone was like that. Can you imagine if God testified his testimony to you as you're a friend of God? He can trust you. He can count on you. You're going to believe him. You're steady. You're a pillar. Someone that can be counted on. He'll bear the weight. It's nothing new. Yeah, I not said anything you all haven't heard before. God just wanted to bring it to your remembrance. If you have enemies, you need to learn forgiveness. Make sure I'm done. That's all I'm doing. I think I'm done, but let me make sure. Friendship is not an emotional dependency. Let me finish on this. People, we have what we call codependent. That means they're totally dependent on the other person to have any sense of being, self, control, feelings of love and everything, instead of being an individual, just them and Christ. Make sense? It's an unhealthy relationship between the man and wife. Because one controls the other one way, the other one controls the other a different way. We're on the message. Many brothers over the years have had this idea that I'm the man, you do what I say. I'm in charge, you're just a woman. What a disgusting example of love. That love. That's self-love. Yeah. Hopefully everyone's been preached out of that by now. Let me ask you, is that the way God treats you? Is it right? Well, yes, it makes me do exactly.
character?
It will become abusive. They would have character to control that instead of taking out their frustration on their girlfriend or their wife. They take out their anger on their wife. They take it out on their kids. They take it out on everybody else because their character isn't there to control that.
No, I'm done. What are you trying to say with that last statement, Brother Phil? Look, Brother Branham said what to do. He said, look for character. And if I'm looking for a girl to marry, if I'm looking for character, I'm looking for someone who will be submissive in a godly way and not a doormat. Someone who has a relationship with God. And if I'm a girl looking for a guy, I'm looking for someone who has the character to be a leader led by the Holy Spirit. Not just because I'm a man, I'm in charge. You do what I tell you. Don't ever marry someone like that. Unless you just like living in hell, then that's up to you. Let's stand. Lord Jesus, I thank you that we could come together, just a few of us tonight. And Lord, you just very simple message and just encourage us to be friends, to let love rule in our lives, Lord, your love. To lay down our life for our friends. To stick together. To let nothing pull us apart. Especially our feelings. I ask that this word would have the effect you wanted to have. We're going here tonight, Lord. Just be with us. Keep us safe on the road. And Lord, I pray that we all could be back here Sunday morning. The right attitude. Walking in faith. To hear what you would have to say, Lord. We ask this. And I pray for the ones in the situations, Lord, again, the Morans and the Brownings. Lord, give them comfort. Be real to them. Be a friend to them, Lord. We ask this in your name. Amen. God bless you, brother and sister. We will see you.